can look to your love and we know that there's something bigger. Thank you. And Lord, I don't know, obviously, what's going on in everybody's life in here, but I know I've needed your mercy and grace this week. And so I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you that we get access to you because of Jesus, not because of us. If you're here this morning and you would agree with me and say with me, you know what, Terry, I needed some grace this week. Would you just lift up your hand? I needed some grace this week. Anybody needed some grace this week? All right. Thank you. Father, right now there's some folks here struggling with family issues, multiple family issues. Lord, I want to speak life and healing into those situations right now. Lord, some have children who have chosen a path that isn't honoring to you or honoring to their parents. So I want to ask that you bring correction and guidance there and brokenness. Some, Lord, have chosen to run away. They simply won't stay at home under their parents' leadership. They've chosen to run. Father, there's so many things wrong with that. Dangerous, to be sure. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever is causing this one particular young lady to run, you would bring an answer. Help her face what it is and get help. Now, I wonder if any of you here would say today, just as we have a spirit of prayer, and we always want to do that here at Grace, I wonder if any of you would say here today that, man, you just really need God to touch you and speak to you in a special way today. You're struggling with something and you need God to speak to you in some way. Would that be you today? Just lift up your hand. God, I need you to speak to me in some way today. Can you speak to me? Man, me too. I'm with you. We ask the Lord to do that. Obviously, this platform area is open for those who would like to come and pray. We never shut that down. We respect, as a non-denom church, we respect your tradition. So if your tradition is to sit where you are or if it's to come forward, we honor that. We respect that. So whichever way you would like to go. Well, Father, we are going to look today at your word. And we need you, Holy Spirit, to open our hearts and our minds to speak to us the words you want us to hear. Challenge us, Lord, in the way you want to challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning. Man, before we release our grace kids, let me just mention something to you. We had our first service of 2018, and we had 38 people there this morning, so say amen to that. So that's awesome. We believe that service is going to grow and help reach people and help folks connect. And as summer comes and your schedule gets busy, remember, you can still hit church and hit the beach. Now, y'all know me, I'm just real, all right? I'm just an honest guy, and so I know some of you are going to say, oh, man, I can't go to church because I want to be at the beach by 10 o'clock. Well, I can't get you out at 10, but I can get you out a few minutes after that, okay? And so just know that there's really no reason for you not to be at church on the Lord's Day because we have some options for you now. We hope that you'll use those in the days ahead for sure. Where are our Grace kids? Are our Grace kids here today? Let's tell them we love them. Let's pray for the Vances. They are old hands at this. They've been doing it for a lot of years. They got it covered. That's great. And just so you know, and we're so thankful, we have a lot of children also that are in our nursery and preschool area. That area is growing. And in the days ahead, we're going to talk to you a little bit more about that as well as some things we want to do to try to help there and minister there to be sure. Well, hey, let's ask the Lord to open our ears and our hearts right now. Well, Father, open our ears, open our hearts to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been going through a series on miracles. This is our fourth week, fourth miracle, and we're in the book of John. And we're coming to the miracle that is probably, other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, probably the most popular miracle that Jesus ever did. It is one of the few, there's only two miracles contained in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The resurrection of Jesus is contained in all four, and so is this one. And this one is the feeding of the 5,000. And all the Baptists said, see, there you go. I know the Pentecostals, and I mean, we like, this is the first buffet line, right? So this is the first buffet line. This is the one that people gravitate to and remember. Maybe because it is in all four Gospels, so you get to hit on it, no matter which book you're in. But maybe because it's near and dear to our hearts and our waistlines, okay? And maybe that's why we like it. Maybe because we like it so much. But the miracle here is interesting. And it's interesting because it's where a lot of people wouldn't think Christians would go. You know, Christians should be only about the spiritual things. You know, we should only engage in talking about the big spiritual problems. You know, can you prove there's a God? How do we know Jesus rose from the dead? How can we trust the Bible? All these sort of academic, loftier questions that people are going to ask. You know, a lot of times we think, well, those are the only things we should really be concerned with. But Jesus in this particular miracle is very clear that we should care about people and we should care about their practical needs. When people are hungry, we should try to feed them. When people are struggling, we should try to help them. When people need help, we should try to help them. And this is just really clear in John chapter 6. So join me, if you will, and as we read through John chapter 6, we're gonna zip through this pretty quick, and I'm sort of going to talk as we go and see what God tells us. Now, after this, Jesus had been preaching and teaching and doing miracles. He'd already done three. Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing with the sick. Now, remember, Jesus said that he was going to do these miracles for a clear reason. And the reason was so the gospel could advance. So don't forget that today. Whenever God does a miracle, it's always, always, always about advancing the gospel. It's about taking his message of the good news and moving it in a powerful way into culture, into a community, into a home, into a region. It's always about the advancement of the gospel. The people who get to receive the miracle are just simply blessed. Amen? I mean, I like receiving miracles. Anybody sign up? Okay, if you don't want yours, I'll take yours, all right? Don't play today, and we'll see how it ends up, okay? I'll take it. I mean, I'm all about that. But understand that it isn't always about us. Uh-oh. I just offended the 21st century congregation. Miracles are not always about us. As a matter of fact, when Jesus did miracles in the scripture, they were almost really never about us. We get to be blessed by them, and we get to benefit from them, and man, we get to enjoy it. I mean, but it's not focused on us. It's always about Jesus validating himself as Lord and advancing the gospel all across the globe. And man, I will tell you, he wants to do that today, just like he did 2,000 years ago. There is no doubt he wants to do that. So, here we go. Jesus has been teaching. He goes to the other side, and it's working. He's drawing a crowd. People are coming to see what's going on, man. When there's something happening, people want to show up. How many of you remember? Now, some of you who are young, excuse me for being old for a minute, but I'm old every day. So, I'm just going to expose you to it right now. How many of us remember when you traveled back before cell phones, before GPSs, before all this kind of stuff where you could Google, you know, Chick-fil-A near me, right? And then, you know, get off and, you know, find the Chick-fil-A. Before that, okay, there's some of us here who remember that. How many remember how you would choose where you would eat if you were traveling in an area that you didn't know? Where would you stop? Where people are stopped. I mean, right? I mean, believe it or not, kids, this is how we used to do it. We would drive down the road, we'd actually look in the parking lot, and if there were a lot of cars, the assumption was the food must be what? Food must be pretty good. So we're going to play. How many remember doing that? Anybody remember doing that? Right? How many of you don't want to admit you're that old? Okay. Don't lie in church. Just admit it. It's okay. God's got you alive. He's got you for a reason. All right? So I remember doing that. And so the principle is this. People go where people go. That's sort of the sociological principle. There's a sub-principle called the homogeneous unit principle. I'm not going to get into all that. But anyways, the general principle is people go where people go. And people typically begin going where something is good. And so Jesus came to earth. He's living this perfect life. Then he starts his public ministry, and he starts healing the sick. He starts curing people.
He starts doing the supernatural, which means above the natural, not normals. Miracles are not normals. They're called miracles for a reason. They're not normals. They're miracles. So he starts doing miracles, and people start seeing it and hearing about it, and they start following. People go where people go, and people want to go where there's something good. And that's why we say here at Grace, our church only advances when God does something in you, and then you share it. If God does nothing in you and you don't share it, our church doesn't advance. It only advances through you. When God meets you here, when he begins to answer your prayers, when he begins to do great things in your life, when you begin to grow as a believer, when your spiritual life begins to climb and not decline, and you start to share that, our church grows. When that doesn't happen, our church doesn't grow. There is not a plan B. There is no plan B. Plan A is... That's sort of how Jesus did it, and that's how we want to do it. We just want to be like him. So if we show up here and faithfully teach the word, sing songs about Jesus, we have intentional times of prayer, and you avail yourself to that, and really be honest with the Lord, you know what we know? We know God's going to do something good in you, and then you're going to share it with people around you. We just really believe that's going to happen. So that's what was going on here. People were hearing about Jesus, man, it was happening. And so these multitudes were following him. Now look at verse 3. It says, now Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Now lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat? He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was about to do. Now Philip answered, said, Lord, we only have about 200 denarii worth of bread. To buy bread, and that wouldn't be enough for each person to have maybe just a little bit. Now, here's the situation. So Jesus goes outside the city. He goes up on a hill. We're seeing him in it. There was grass all over the place because he wanted people to sit down and be comfortable, because Jesus cares about personal people. He cares about personal people. He just does. And so he could have gone somewhere where there's nothing but rocks and said, pull up a rock and sit down. But he didn't do that. He said, let's go to the grass where it's a little bit softer to sit down. Now, that's just how he showed that he cared about people a bit. So then he sees all these people coming, hordes of people, mass, 5,000 people coming. Now, we know, because of the way they kept count, that was Jewish men that were being counted, that they did not count women, they did not count children, and I read one commentator said they probably didn't count Gentiles. So if you were a non-Jew, you probably weren't in that 5,000-person count. And so the crowd was reasonably, and I don't, this isn't doctrine, but reasonably we can say the crowd was probably about 15,000 people or so. And so Jesus gets up there and says, woo, that's a lot of folk. Where are we going to put them and how are we going to feed them? And so he says to Philip, he says, Philip, how much money do we have? What's going on? He said, we got 200 denarii. That basically this 5,000 that will get the first pick of the food, right? We could give them a little bit, just to, like a munchkin. Size piece of bread. That's sort of what the idea was. So they were going to hand out munchkins to 5,000 people. How many of you know that's not going to work long? Anybody with me on that? Yeah. Not going to work out real long. And so they're in a jam. But I want you to notice this, that Jesus cared about their physical need. You see, again, here in the church, oftentimes, we just want to argue and debate the academic questions. And that's sort of fun to do. We want to talk about, well, I believe that, and so believe that, and Grandpa Jones believed that, and the preacher I raised up with believed that, and my grandmama believed that, and she was sainted, so that makes it right. Hello, hallelujah. Right? So, we've got all of this stuff that we want to fight about and think that it's spiritual, but Jesus actually cared about the physical needs of people. They were hungry. They'd been walking. They'd been listening. They weren't at home. There wasn't a restaurant on every corner. They were hungry. They needed to be fed. Debbie Sangster, who was a Methodist pastor of the last century, made a statement something like this. Said it's hard for the person to receive the bread of life when what they really need is bread in their stomach. Any of you ever remember being in school, and it's the class before lunch, and your stomach's growling, and your mind's wandering and you're looking for some Skittles to steal? Anybody ever been there? I mean, you're just, oh, drop a Skittle on the floor, 10-second rule. I will eat it. I mean, you know, because I'm starving to death. It's right before lunch. And if y'all remember that, remember being in that situation? And when you're hungry and your stomach's growling and your blood sugar's dropping, you need to eat. You're not going to receive a lot of complex teaching. Teachers, how many of you know that class you teach right before lunch, you might as well lock them in the closet. Not literally. I'm not on the school board anymore, so maybe I can say literally. Right? But I mean, you know, it's just, what's that? Yeah. I mean, it's not the best thing to do. Now, guys, this is just real practical. Jesus knew if he was going to teach, they had to be fed. But Jesus also knew that everything he did was going to be modeled by those who followed him, because Jesus was God and he knew what was coming. So he knew that every miracle he did and everything he did was going to be modeled by people after him. If Jesus cared about feeding hungry people, we should care about feeding hungry people. We just should. Listen, it's not always pretty. It's not always comfortable. It's not always neat. It's not always clean. A lot of these people haven't gone through 27 Bethmore studies and memorized 27 scriptures, right? It's okay. They're hungry people, and they need food. That's why, you know, we've partnered with the backpack program, Denise, over here from day one. I mean, it was never, ever, 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 ever a question that we were going to give, and we were going to serve, and we were going to help feed hungry kids. Now, you're saying, well, Terry, but yeah, okay, I got you on this one, the social gospel. You're being a liberal, I got you. Because that's just feeding people, and they will never know the gospel. Push the pause button on that for a minute. Those kids are going to grow up. And many of them, not all, but many of them will begin to ask, I wonder who cared enough to pack all that food for me when I was a kid. I wonder who cared enough to go through all that work. I wonder who worked so hard for that. And know what they're going to find? They're going to find Megan Legal over here, a Christian who did it because of her Christian impulse. They're going to find Denise, who serves because of her Christian character and impulse. They're going to find others in this church who gave, not because we know them or will ever know them, but because we're Christians and we care. And they're going to start asking those questions. And if there is a sovereign God, and there is, and he rules and reigns over this earth through his providence, and he does, those whom God is after will begin to ask those deeper questions. And guess what? The gospel will be shared with them in some way. Jesus did this miracle, not just to feed 5,000 people, but to say to us 2,000 years later, you need to feed hungry people. Hungry people matter. And you need to help them. So, here's what happens. So, all these people are coming and they're looking around. And you know, Philip basically says, Lord, we don't really have a lot of money. So, what are we going to do? They're in a bind. Now, look what happens. Now, one of his disciples, a guy named Andrew. A lot of people don't know about Andrew much. He's one of the lesser known 12, but he's in the book. Right? Andrew. Okay, he is Simon Peter's brother. Simon Peter got all the press. All right? Anybody ever been a little brother of a big brother who got all the press? Anybody with me on that? All right, okay, well, this is Andrew. But I will argue with you, Andrew does something here that rivals anything Peter ever did. Look at this. You'll miss it if you don't look. Listen to what he says right here. Now, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is that for so many? Now, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was a lot of grass, so he told them to sit down there. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And then Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them who were seated. So also he did the same with the fish, and they ate as much as they wanted. Now, let's go back to Andrew. Now, we have to talk about him for a minute, because I think he is a lot like some of us. I don't, maybe a lot like us. If you walk out and you see these 5,000 people sitting there, and you have a little boy over here with a sack of lunch, you know, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, are we all pretty enough gauges, you know, we can gauge pretty well that
that that's not going to feed 5,000 people. Are we all at least that good? Right, we can sort of eyeball that. I know we have trouble, you know, guessing crowds and stuff, but can we sort of look at this and say it's not going to reach that, right? Okay, so either Andrew was really, really challenged in understanding numbers and space and people. Either he was really sort of had a block in his brain that he didn't understand it, because nobody rational would say, hey, Jesus, got this covered. Here's five loaves of bread and two fish. Yeah, we got the 5,000. There, good job. He's going to go kick back and take a nap. Nobody sane would do that. Can we agree? Right. Okay. So here's probably what the case was. Andrew had heard and seen the miracles Jesus had done. And already at this point in his life, he knew the natural didn't bind Jesus' hands. When Jesus wanted to do something, the natural principles and law and order of things didn't tie him up and shackle him down. He wasn't restricted to the natural. Why? Because he's God and he can do the supernatural. So he wasn't bound to that. And so I think Andrew saw this and said, you know what? I'm not real sure what he's going to do, and I'm not really sure how he's going to do it, but I'm going to take this and give it to Jesus, and he can do something with it. He can take little and do much. And so he took it to Jesus. Jesus said, thanks. Everybody grab a seat. He blessed it, distributed the bread, blessed the fish, distributed the fish. And as we look on, you're going to see there was plenty left over. So here's the principle. Jesus can take little and do much because he does the supernatural. Now here's how it applies to you today. Some of you are sitting here right now saying, I'm not sure what God could do with me. I hope you're at least asking that question. I mean, some people go to church their whole life and they never ask that question. Lord, what would you like to do with me? I mean, they don't. But I hope you're asking that question today. God, what can you do with me? What do you want to do with me? How do you want to use my life? And so, understand this. It doesn't matter what your education level is. Does not matter. Doesn't matter how much money you do or don't have in the bank. Does not matter. It doesn't matter what your skill set is. Can you get up and preach to 200 or lead a Bible study? Doesn't matter. God, listen, let's keep going. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your background. Oh, Terry, my background does not look like something that should be written in the Bible. Any of y'all with me on that? How many of y'all would love your background to be written in the Bible so everybody can read it for thousands of years? Anybody with me? Yeah, thank you for being honest on Sunday. All right. Nobody wants that. I mean, are you kidding me? I'd go to jail if they wrote my stuff down. Don't look at me like that. You'd be right next to me, you bunch of liars. Y'all would be right next to me. We'd be cellmates, man. We'd be, you know, you just wouldn't be in jail for the same thing I'd be in jail over, right? I mean, we'd all be cellmates, right? So here's the deal. It doesn't matter. Why? Did I see that word right there? Grace. Because God gives you favor when you don't deserve it. God approves of you when you don't deserve it. God lifts you up when you don't deserve it. Why? Because of that banner. His love for you. He loves you. With all the brokenness, with all the bad choices, with all the horrible decisions, with all the bad roads you've run down. Listen to me. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants to use you. Listen, Jesus took a little bit, and made a lot out of it. He can do that with your life today. Wherever you are in life, whatever station or status you might be in, God can do that with your life today. He can take little, and he can make much. Now, he also does that in a physical way. Some of you are not, you know, you look at your bank account and, you know, there's numbers, but they're on the wrong side of the decimal. Are you with me on that? All right? I mean, I live with a math teacher, and I understand decimals, right? And sometimes in our bank account, the numbers are on the wrong side of the decimal, right? But guess what? The Lord can even take that and multiply it. And God gives us a way to do that. He tells us very clearly in his word, you want to see a miraculous work? Obey my word. Grace is going to meet you there, and you're going to see something miraculous. You know? How do we get into that situation? Yeah, well,
You use your gifts and abilities to the Lord. You give to the advancement of the ministry. You work. You budget. You do these practical things and watch God come in and do some things that you never thought would be possible. Let me ask you this. Would it be a supernatural miracle if God encountered you right now in a real and different way than you've ever known him before? Would you consider that a miraculous act? I would, because it's not always a normal act in my life. God had 5,000 people, just had 5,000 people sitting before him, and he encountered them through food, by providing for their physical need. Boy, that spread. Wouldn't you want to follow somebody around who had free food all the time? Anybody with me on that? All right, so now what do we have? We have free wine. He can heal you. Now you have free food. I'm in. Y'all don't look at me like that. Ah, look at me like I'm a sinner. It says in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I'm in. Later on, this we're not going to get to this one in the book of John, but later on, Peter whacks off this guy's ear in the garden. Remember that? He whacks off this guy's ear, and Jesus does the potato head move, puts it right back on. So what do we know from that? So I want to follow Jesus. You know why? Because if our things start falling off, he can put them back on. And the older you get, the more important that becomes. Can I get an amen or an oh my? All right? I mean, absolutely. I'm with it. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Verses 10 through 14, the Bible says this. Now Jesus said, now have the people sit down. Now there was so much, there was grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, we looked at this. He distributed it to those who were seated. So he took the fish and gave as much as they wanted. And when they had finished, look, when they had eaten up everything to their fill, he told the disciples, now gather up the leftovers, the fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with fragments, and this was all from the 5 barley loaves that the men had eaten. Now, when the people saw this sign, remember, signs are about the gospel, that he had done, they said, this indeed is a prophet who is to come into the world. When Jesus does a miracle, there's no mistake. It will be clearly known. When you have a miracle performed in your life, when God reaches down and does something amazing in your life, it will be so clearly God, you won't be able to confuse it for your cleverness, wisdom, or by just, you know, strict probability. He will do the miraculous in such a way that he only gets credit for it. And don't you really want to walk with God in that capacity? I mean, don't you really want to walk with the Lord in such a way where you say, God, do things in my life and through my life where only you get the credit, not me. I don't want to depend on my cleverness, on my wisdom, on my smarts, on my intellect. I want you to do stuff where only you get the credit. I mean, don't you really want to walk with the Lord in that way? When we started Grace, you know, over 3 years ago now, we prayed often that the Lord would do stuff here that only he would get the credit for. None of us wanted credit. We didn't want to, you know, hey, how did you do that? Or, hey, you need to write a book. You know, I can barely write my name. I'm not writing a book. So, you know, kidding, I am, but I got a lot of help. You know, we want to do something here and see something here that only God takes the credit for. Don't you want to be of a place like that? Be a part of a place like that? Where it's the supernatural move of God and nothing else. Man, that's what we want to be a part of here. And if you need that in your life today, God will meet you where you are. And he will bless you where you are. And he'll talk to you. If you want to hear from him, he'll speak to your heart. And he'll speak to your mind. Pray with me if you will. Just a minute here before the Lord, I want to ask you to think about something and make a decision. You know, when we gather together as God's people, we always want to move forward. We want to
move out of here taking a step ahead, not just staying where we are. So if you're here today and if you sense the Lord's spoken to you about a ministry or some involvement that you need to be involved with, some area of the church you need to be involved in, I wonder if you would just slip up your hand. Man, God spoke to me about I need to get involved. Anybody? All right, thank you. Thank you. How many would say today, Terry, you know, just be real honest. I'm glad I came to church, but my spiritual life is sort of flatlined, and I need God to shock me into a better place. I really need that. I wonder how many of you would say that right now. I need to move to a better place. I just need to get to a better place. Great. Thank you for your honesty. God draws near an honest heart. He always has and always will. Bible says that Lord resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God always draws near an honest heart. So just be honest with him. How many of you would say, Terry, things are pretty good with me, but I know some folks who really need God to work in power in their lives. I've got some friends who need a touch from the Lord. How many of you would say that today? Oh, a lot of you. Thank you for caring about your friends. Thank you for caring about others. And then finally, if you're here today and you don't know Christ personally, I wonder if today would be the day that you would surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ. So, well, how do I do that? Well, it's real simple. Right there where you are, just praying before the Lord, just say, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for letting me come to church today. And Father, right now I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life as I surrender myself to you, Holy Spirit. Seal me to the day of salvation. Lord, I surrender myself to you. I declare you Lord over my life and Savior. Change my heart and change my life. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer today, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just slip up your hand. One, two, three, just slip up your hand. Anybody, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Okay, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says after you do that, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We are ready and able to baptize every week if we need to. We have people already being baptized for Sunday of next month. So that would be a great time to baptize you. Just fill out that little form on the brochure, put it in the offering plate when it passes in a few minutes, and we'll contact you and we'll set that up and we'll chat with you. We'll make sure everything's in order for your baptism. We want to help you take that step. If you'll let us, we want to help you. Well, let's pray. Well, Father, you've seen the hearts of your people. You know the struggles, the issues, the circumstances they find themselves in. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless those with a supernatural encounter, Lord, that need a supernatural encounter from you, that you would bless them with that. Father, please move on their hearts and move on their minds. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. At this time, ushers, if you could come forward, please. Ushers, come on forward. Come on up. We give here at Grace for two reasons. We give because Jesus is Lord and because the gospel is the most important message in the world. And so we invite you to give if you choose. If you're a guest, all we want from you is that little card. Let me show it to you just so we know what we're talking about. This little thing right here. Oops. This little thing right here. If you could fill that out, put it in, and then don't forget, guys, this is how we pray for you. Thanks, Dave. This is how we pray for you. So please, please, please put this out there so we can pray for you. Pray through our list this morning. So please let us know how to pray for you, and we really will pray for you if you let us do that, okay? If you don't have time to write this out, get it in the offering plate. That's fine. We have boxes that you can drop this in on your way out so we know how to pray for you. Let's pray. Well, Father, now as we give, may we give with a cheerful heart and give with generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ryan, come on up.
All right, this isn't a shameless plug at all. I stepped out and there was a baby crying. And so there's like, you know, one adult and a couple of teenagers. And you always say, listen, you got to serve. So I like held the baby, which was sweet and wonderful. See, and Dave saw it. So listen, that's an advertisement that we need some help in our nursery because it is like booming back there with kids, which is fantastic. But if you would like to help, please let us know. You can write that on the card and say, hey, yeah, I want to help out with the nursery. It's really easy. All it takes is two arms. You know, it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot. It's just somebody holding a baby, somebody playing, somebody, you know, getting down, and it works out really well. But we would love to have you volunteering that way. Couple of quick announcements. February the 17th, that is the Saturday after Valentine's Day, that is going to be our Te Amo restaurant Valentine's banquet kind of thing that we do here for our teenagers. The cost is $40 a couple or $20 for a single. Does that make sense? $20 a person, or I'll cut you a deal. If you come as a couple, we'll do it two for 40, okay? One for 20, two for 40. I'm a math teacher. You can figure that out, okay? But we'll have a great steak that night. We'll have baked potatoes. We'll have salad. We've got amazing desserts again coming. I went and taste tested them last night, and it was amazing. V Pizza, again, is helping us out with our desserts. So we've got tiramisu and limoncello and chocolate cake, and it's like holy mackerel. But it's going to be a great night. We're going to have seatings at 4:30, 5:30, and 6:30. Okay, so 4:30, 5:30, 6:30. If you're one of those people who you like to eat early, you can sign up for the 4:30 seating. If you like to eat later, you can sign up for the 6:30 seating. But it's an amazing night. You'll walk away with a photograph of you and your special person that night. And, you know, if you don't have one, come and grab me, and I'll take a photo with you, okay? But we'll have a great time. Tonight, life groups tonight. Do you know what you're eating at your house? Because that'll determine whether I'm coming to your group or not.
We're eating food.
Food, sweet.
So bring food. People come into life group at my house, bring food.
Bring food, so, awesome. Yep. Life groups are happening tonight. If you want to get involved in a life group, you're like, I don't know what those are. My wife is right down here. You can see her. She'll tell you where they're at and things like that. So it's a great time. Then February the, 24th is Shape Training. If you've gone through a partnership class and you're a partner of Grace, and now you're wondering what is the next step, Shape is the place for you. That's where you kind of start to understand how God has wired you, how he has made you, how he's created you for ministry. Because it's not just coming and sitting and soaking. It's coming and getting involved and doing something with the gifts that God has given to you. But it's an amazing class, February the 24th. And then that evening, we're going to have a dodgeball tournament, not for those who go to Shape unless you just want to come and play dodgeball. But for middle school and high school students in the gym that night, 6 o'clock, free pizza. And then we're going to have dodgeball tournaments. What's great is area churches are getting together to do this. A lot of us youth pastors have said, hey, let's get together and do a dodgeball tournament. Like, yes, that'll be lots of fun. So all of those announcements are in there. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great, thanks. All right, great. I just got two things for you real quick. Wednesday night, Bible study, 6:30. We are going through the book of Acts. I want to encourage you, if you're looking for something to do midweek, that's a wonderful time. Adults, come out. We meet in the chapel. It's down here on the left. We have a wonderful time. Different format, different venue. It's a lot of conversation, ask questions, answer, discuss, talk. It's a great learning format, so I encourage you to come and be a part of that for sure. Denise, anything from you? Nope. All right, stay with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will see you next week. Want to encourage you to do something. Invest in people's lives and invite them. If you will invest and invite, I promise you God will do a work here, and it will be exciting. But he wants to do that through you. So please, please, please invite somebody to come with you next week, and let's see what God will do. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, we love you and we thank you for today. And now, Father, we ask that you extend your blessings on these, your people. Lord, extend every grace and kindness to them that you have. And Father, I pray that their week will be marked with encounters with you that are transformational. And that, Father, that they will have their eyes and ears and hearts open to those in need. And Father, as we serve in your name, Jesus, we know we will see the miraculous provision you want to bring to do unbelievable stuff through our church and in our community. Father, if someone's walking out this door today and they've not answered the question about their salvation, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll continue to draw their hearts and their minds and open them up to the truth. And Lord, if some people are leaving here today and they're flatlined in their Christian life, in their spiritual journey, Holy Spirit of God, move on their hearts and move on their minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.